The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Think and Grow Rich show with the International Mastermind Association, hashtag IMA show. This is Pegeen, today's host. I want to encourage you to call 661-554-9219 to join us every morning at 8 a.m. as we all explore the success formula of Napoleon Hill, outlined in his best selling classic, Think and Grow Rich, which I have been reading for many years. Press 1 on your phone if you're listening today to raise your hand and be brought into the conversation, because this is about you, this is about us, it's about being together. Today's show, we are discussing Chapter 11, The Subconscious Mind. This is the connecting link and the 11th step to riches. You're going to be hearing from my co-host shortly, our esteemed leader, Ann McNeil, and Ursula Odom, Peter James, and, of course, Galen Nigam. They'll be talking, introducing themselves in a few minutes. We have an amazing special guest today. His name is Frank Kitchen. He is a fundraiser, a coach, keynote speaker. He's one of a handful African-American auctioneers, and I'm dying to hear his story. So let's get ready. Let's get ready to start the show, and I'm going to introduce to you first the goddess behind the scenes, the goddess that handles all the technology when I'm on the show. Let me introduce you to Ursula Odom. Hello, goddess.
Good morning. And okay, so that throws me into the universe of Ursa Major and Ursa Minor. When you start talking about goddesses, I have to think, what can I do to make me worthy of a name like that? And what I do is I'm the CEO of Sula 2, and we make old, new in everything we do. In that, we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible, from books to legacy walls. We tell the story. So when you say goddess, I have to figure out, okay, what story do I craft for that? I have to figure that one out. Thank you.
Glad you're here. Galen, come on, Galen, share your wisdom. Who are you?
Well, good morning. This is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I am a certified executive coach and professional coach, an author, and a speaker. I believe that everyone is designed to be the greatest in the world at something, and my passion is around helping them to find their thing so that you can get on with celebrating being the greatest in the world. I'm really, really excited about this chapter. The subconscious mind is one of the most important elements of our being, and it's probably one of the elements that we know the least about. So anytime that we get to spend talking about this step in Napoleon Hill's classic formula for thinking and growing rich, I am all ears, and I am cued in and can't wait to hear from Mr. Kitchen.
And I'm going to jump over to Dr. Peter James, the success master and educator. Dr. Peter, who this morning, for some reason, I kept on wanting to call you Patrick, thinking that you were like the captain of our starship. But go for it, Dr. Peter James.
Patrick, Peter, Paul, you know, James, I go by all of them a little bit. Pagin, good morning to you. Thank you so much for having me here again as a co-host on this phenomenal Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. Love it, especially the fact that we're going into the subconscious mind today. Very excited to talk about that. Again, my name is Peter James. I am the high performance coach. I help organizations and individuals take their business to the next level. So if that is you, definitely let me know. But I'm happy to be here with Frank today, and Frank's got a unique story, so I can't wait to dive in to see how he implements his subconscious mind into what he does every single day.
I'm thrilled to see him, too. Thank you so much, Peter. And finally, we have Miss Ann McNeil. Miss Ann McNeil, that we are announcing on the show with such pure joy and excitement, that she is the author of several books that nobody knew about. The McNeil Factor Workbook, How to Start and Run a Successful Mastermind Group. This book is amazing. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I am so excited to receive it, and I want to introduce you to our leader and founder, Ms. Ann McNeil, the master.
Thank you, Begin. I am honored to be on the show this morning. And as the founder of the International Mastermind Association, I am excited to be in the listening group for Frank Kitchen. We're part of the Mastermind Group for Black NSA, and he is a phenomenal presenter. Did not know, Frank, that you were an auctioneer also. So I'm just excited to be here, and thank you, Alpha King, for letting that cat out the bag. Thanks.
And we're going to hear the 13 principles of Think and Grow Rich before I introduce you to the magnificent, wonderful, powerful auctioneer, keynote speaker, amazing Frank Kitchen. Let's go first to hear about the 13 principles of Think and Grow Rich so you know what we're talking about.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts. Use the knowledge. Use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of autosuggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Well, 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 every time I hear the 13 steps, I am placed in a position to receive, to know, to think, and be rich, and it works in my life. I just wanted to work in your life, and we have somebody today that I am so excited to introduce you to. His name is Frank Kitchen, and he is the creator of the Live Fresh methodology, by cooking yourselves in the kitchen with Frank to make sure that you're powerful, that you are a positive different maker and a life changer. He teaches it to leaders around the world, and this methodology that he has created and used has raised millions, that's right, millions of dollars annually for nonprofits across the United States. He is a fundraising auctioneer and an ambassador. That means he's philanthropic. That means he knows about how to think and grow rich. Frank, I am so excited to have you. I'm going to be sharing more about your keynote speaking and your leadership throughout this conversation that we're having. Welcome, welcome to the family. Welcome to being here on the show. So happy to have you. And can you share with me a little bit about your story and how did you come to find this Live Fresh? I mean, when you joined this planet, tell us about yourself.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, Pagin and the team. It's great to be here this morning. Quite simply, my name is Frank Kitchen. The last name is spelled just like the room in the house. I tell people I am a husband, a father, a believer. I am a fundraiser, a coach, and a keynote speaker. And quite simply, I teach leaders and people around the world how to dedicate their time, talent, team, and treasures to be positive difference makers and life changers, not only in their lives, but the lives of others. So, you know, we call it servant leadership, but we all have some sort of talent or gift. And, you know, the world tells us to use it for ourselves, but I tell people it's more rewarding and better for our world when we not only use it for ourselves, but use it to help others. And we motivate people in that way. So for me, you're asking, like, you know, how I came to do everything I did. I grew up as a military brat, so I've grown up all around the world. Born in Germany. I think last time we counted, I lived like 15 different places. But along the way, just, you know, my mom, you know, raised me, and my sister was a case of, you know, she tried to always just put us around positive people, people who are going somewhere. I used to get mad at her because she would see a friend at a friend named Terrence, and Terrence is always dressed up, and I wanted to wear jerseys, and she's like, you know, you gotta dress well, you know, so you can make a great impression. You need to be around the right people. You need to, you know, speak well. You need to write well. So she was always looking for this focus to, you know, just get the best out of me. So as I was growing up, I got into college, and I got involved in student leadership programs. So I was on the student government program board, Black Student Union, pretty much anything I could be around to be around positive people. And at the same point, I found out being in some of these groups would actually help pay for my school. So this is how I ended up getting my degree. Now, while I was getting involved, I was actually a quiet and shy person. And all of a sudden they say, hey, Frank, you know, you're going to be our student keynote speaker at your college graduation. So that blew my mind that I had to go speak in front of all these people. So I went and did the speech, and I was nervous. My cap fell off, and I'm like, okay, it's like, how does it go? And many people came up and said, Frank, you know, you did an amazing job with your speech. You encouraged us. You inspired us. So once I graduated, I went to work in the retail world, and I managed a store. I trained people. I opened stores, and many of the leadership skills that I learned from my mom and I learned in college, I was applying into stores and becoming successful, of which eventually the college I went to and my advisors reached out to me and said, hey, we've got a position here. You'd like to come back and work in leadership development and train at the college to work with the student groups. So I went back to the college to work there. And while I'm working at the college, I'm the crazy orientation director, and I'm doing diversity programs. I'm helping students, scholarships, just anything to, you know, use my talents to give back. One of my students comes to me one day and essentially says, Frank, you challenged us to live our dreams. What are you doing to live yours? And they knew that I was starting to get this passion for speaking and helping people. And they go, yeah, you know, you could do more than just giving it to the students here and the community here. We think you should step out and do this, you know, around the world. So essentially my students use my words on me, and they pushed me out into the professional speaking world. And that's about 13 years ago. So I stepped out. I had just met my girlfriend, who's my wife now, at the time. So it was, you know, working out. But I did in about 2007, 2008, which isn't really the best time to go start your own business because we had the recession. So at first, I was living this glory life of being a professional speaker, feeling like a rock star. And the next thing you know, work's not coming in, and I'm wondering if I made the right decision. And I tell a lot of people, this is where God had to humble me, because when I essentially got into the speaking piece, I tell people I had the talent to speak, but I didn't necessarily have the skill to speak. I was infatuated with speaking, but not in love with speaking. And that's why I really wasn't successful. I could blame it on different people, but ultimately it was me. And then I had to get around people like yourself. I had friends who were professional speakers, NSA members, National Speakers Association. And while I was struggling with this, I had to, you know, to talk about just getting beat down, I went to a point where I was literally working three jobs to try to even just keep the lights on. So I was working, doing presentations at the Phoenix Zoo. I was helping with a nonprofit, working with a young man who had Down syndrome to help him out being his respite care provider. And then I was stocking shelves at Bath & Beyond. And during this whole point, I was trying to mentally beat down, because we're going to talk about that piece there. And I pretty much had to program myself, said, you know what, if you really want this, you've got to go, which the challenge was I'd shared this idea with people like, hey, I'm going to be a speaker. I need to go and do this. And somebody goes, well, why are you still working here then? So literally I quit my job at that point to really put my time into speaking. And while I was trying to put the time back into speaking, I still need to make an income. So I ran into a friend and said, hey, you know, my wife is pregnant. I need work. And she goes, well, I am working at an auction house and a school. Would you be willing to come in, work at school and work in the administration side, maybe teach a couple classes, but then also work on with the sales team to help consign items? And the only thing I knew about auctions was eBay. But I'm like, hey, you know what? Gotta take care of the family. So I went to go work there, and something happened to me. I always tell people, God puts things into your life. I started to meet these auctioneers, and I recognized the auction business was similar to the speaking business, but all these people there had this passion for what they were doing, and I realized for me early on, I didn't have that passion for what I was doing. You know, once again, wasn't in love. When I saw that passion and you get around these people, I'm like, wow, that's what I need. And I met an auctioneer while I was there, and we connected. His name is Bobby D. Ellert. And we went to lunch, and I, you know, started to talk to him. We built a connection. I talked about how he spoke. He talked about how he did some fundraising, and he invited me to an event with him. And I got to work the event. He's like, hey, come back and work some more. So while I'm going to watch his events and, you know, do this piece, this passion, my speaking started to come back alive. And then all of a sudden, while the speaking's coming back to life, I'm going like, okay, what is this speaking about? Because before I was just kind of speaking about anything, but I need to become more focused. And I started to realize years ago when I used to, you know, run my stores, I wrote a newsletter for my employees and I called it Fresh from the Kitchen. Just, you know, I have to make fun of my name. And, you know, I joked around and said, hey, here's your recipe for success, how you can turn your dreams and talents into something. So I looked at my wife one day and she goes, yeah, you know what, you know, how about you talk about, you know, I like fresh better than fun. And I realized that fresh, when you break it down, was my journey to going from the struggling speaker to where I was, you know, where I currently am. So essentially the words are for my, it's almost my diary. I was telling people fresh means that I lacked focus. I wasn't being resourceful. I wasn't enthusiastic. I wasn't being mentally strong, and I wasn't being honest with myself to why I wasn't successful. And I was sharing with people that when you live fresh, it means you are not talking about it, you're living it. And I recognized being around these auctioneers and, you know, that they were living what they were talking about. They weren't just, you know, talking about it. So I reached out to Bobby and goes, like, well, hey, it's like I've been working, you know, the behind the scenes for you. How do I get on stage? And he knew I was a speaker. And he goes, well, Frank, you're comfortable in a crowd. You know how to speak. He's like, I can teach you the other part, but you got to go to school and take some classes. So I was like, sign me up. So when I went to go sign up, I noticed that there's not a lot of African-Americans in the industry. So I did some Google research, and I was like, okay, let me see if I can find anybody. And I found one person out of Texas, my good friend Tawana Kinney. And I go, hey, if I go through the certification, go through the classes, I'm like, you know, how many of us are there? She goes, well, when you get it, you'll be number three. I was like, number three? Wow. She's like, yeah, in the entire world. Only three people have earned this designation, which is called Benefit Auctioneer Specialist, which means you specialize only in fundraising. And because at the college I had been an event planner, I had helped raise scholarships, it wasn't really a new world for me. So I got into that piece there. Once again, go ahead.
No. So I'm fascinated because it also ties into like this whole thing of subconscious mind. I love how you were thinking like you're fresh. Of the focus, resourceful,
yeah.
I didn't catch the E, the strong, the honest. That was all your
enthusiastic
perspective, right?
Yeah.
Enthusiastic.
Yeah, it changes your perspective, right? And essentially I had to get beat, if you want to say beat down, or, you know, quote, you know, God had to test me and challenge me to, you know, it's like, hey, I jumped out on stage when I first started speaking. I was telling people how to live this great life, but I'd never had any obstacles or challenges in my life. And once I went through these tough times, it actually made my speaking even better because ultimately, you know, I could step on stage and tell people, hey, it's like, you know what, have you ever had to ask the bill collector for a job? Because I have a bill collector calling me. And when the bill collector calls you and says, hey, you can't pay your bill, I'm like, I know, it's like I need a job. I'm like, well, maybe you should get one. I go, are you hiring? That's real to an audience. And I realized going to this – sorry?
How did you find yourself going to Think and Grow Rich, to the book?
Well, to the book, essentially was after I've gone through this whole process, the short story was I, using the mindset, I crashed a National Speakers Association conference that was in my town in Phoenix. And when I went there, I met, his name is Eric Turner, and Eric Turner and I found out we'd both been on the same segment for CNN. And I was just drawn to it. So he's part of the Black National Speakers Association. He invited me to a meeting there. So I went in. I met a lot of great people. And I became a member of Black NSA on Facebook. And then all of a sudden, on there they go, hey, we're going to have this millionaire mastermind. And we're going to be studying the book Think and Grow Rich. And I was talking to my wife, and we're always about, hey, who do you surround yourself with? Until Mom talked about that. I'm like, well, I need to be around some more like-minded people who want to go somewhere, because I recognize in my past when I got into some negative environments, I had negative results. So I'm like, let me be around some positive go-getters so I can achieve positive results also.
I love it. It's kind of like your mother was messing with your mind again, being she infiltrated your subconscious mind to say you need to be around positive people again.
Yeah.
You need to force it. I love that. So in the subconscious mind, or page that we're at page 2011, that chapter, what made you feel, what drew you about that chapter and in your world of life? Well, your story is so fabulous. I love Fresh from the Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. We can share some more about it. The big one that got me in the chapter was, like, everyone who's listening to this right now, if you go to page 212, and I had to, like, underline the one section with one line and then double lines to say how powerful it was. At the top of page 212, it goes, you cannot entirely control your subconscious mind, but you can voluntarily hand over it to a plan, desire, purpose, which you wish can be transformed into a concrete form. So that piece just hit me, because it lets me know my story when it says you are in control of your subconscious. And I always tell people many times, you know, it's what we feed it. And I recognize in my life when I was around people or in environments where people weren't trying to go anywhere, they're like, woe is me, it's so-so. They weren't really trying to push themselves. Then I actually started to perform the same way. But when I started, you know, have this desire or plan or purpose, it's almost like my mind craved it and starts to seek out this group that we're doing here on the radio and started to seek that. And that's where I got my, you know, quote, positive results or better results. So, you know, we can't, you know, control it, but we can control what we're feeding it.
I love it. It's like, I'm telling you, I have fallen in love hearing you are Fresh from the Kitchen. That's not going to leave me. And I'll talk to you offline because it's just such a, it feeds it. And so we're going to go, just so you know, we're going to go to a commercial, and then my co-hosts are going to come over and ask Frank Kitchen, Fresh from the Kitchen Mind, who shares his power and message about being fresh. And let's go to a commercial, and I'm so enjoying this man.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Think and Grow Rich Show with the International Masterminders Association. And we have today we're discussing how to use your subconscious mind with Frank Kitchen, who's fresh from the kitchen with his bold, brave, intuitive messaging. That he's one of only three worldwide African-American auctioneers. He's raised millions of dollars for fundraisers. And I know, Frank, just be prepared, because Ursula is going to come back to you. That's your mama. I know it. Go ahead, Ursula.
Okay. Oh, yes. Well, Frank, when I thought I had seen everything, I realized, even though I have been to hundreds of, or at least 100 auctions, I have never seen a black auctioneer. Oh, my goodness. I went to your site, and you are off the chain. I'm loving it. And the reason that this is important to me is because you smoked out a secret side of me. I love old documents, and I go to auctions or have gone to auctions over the years, and I collect historical documents for a site called One Great Date. And no, it's not about people. It's about one great date in history. So what is the greatest thing that you've found in or tell people about that industry too, because I think it's fascinating.
Okay. Yeah. So we were talking earlier. So yeah, when I got into this industry, you realize that a lot of the people in the industry are business leaders. It's not just the people who are up on stage, because they have to market the event to get the right buyers there. They have to get the right items for the buyers. I mean, so they're essentially like they're a ringmaster, and you know, it's a misunderstood, you know, industry. So even for a while, I was a part of their National Auctioneers Association. I was helping with their outreach programs and their programs to attract new faces. And they're talking about the fact of like, hey, it's like you've got to do a better job of explaining to people what you do, because most people think that it's just a person who jumps up there and talks really fast. And there's so much more. So even for me on the fundraising side, there's actually, if you want to call it, there are just different subcategories of auctioneers. You have some who focus on wine. You have some who focus on art, some who focus on real estate, some cars, cattle. And in my case, was fundraising. So when Pagin earlier was saying, hey, he's like the third African American, yeah, that blew me away to be there are other auctioneers who are black auctioneers who have done fundraising auctions, but to specialize in it, I was, you know, one of the first. And you know, I'm actually very, you know, quote, getting more popular in the industry. Now it's been nice because me and my friend TK have actually reached out to help other people, or as you said, people are like, wow, there's a black auctioneer, I've never seen that. So my friend TK, she's like the first black female to run her own school and does this, but she's working to, you know, we've probably got about 10 to 12 strong people now where it's like, hey, whatever I can do to get you into the industry, to get you more work. So, you know, mm-hmm. we're looking to pour into other people and be that resource. But as you said, the one thing that people don't understand in this industry or business is just – we know how to connect, engage, and read with people. Like I told people when I'm on the stage, my job is to use my speaking skills to share the story or the mission of the organization, to get people to open their minds and hearts and eventually their wallets to help out that philanthropy.
Absolutely wonderful. And as it relates to this particular chapter, and when I mentioned why your profession fascinates me, is that it taps into my subconscious mind, because this started when I was like 5 years old. I crawled under my grandmother's bed and got out old documents, letters, pictures. So when I go to an auction, I'm looking for paper memorabilia, and I have found some great things from the 1860s and what have you. So do you travel all over the world for this, or at least the country doing this?
Yes. So I travel around the country. So my schedule is just on the fundraising side, not even the speaking side, because speaking is my main business. But so far this fall, or even this week, I've been in an event in New York City tonight. I was in LA for a group the other night. I've got Austin and Phoenix next week. You travel around. It's similar to the speaking industry, but yeah, it's like, people are looking for someone who can, you know, I call myself a fundraising ambassador, someone who can represent their organization to the public, put their mission into words that people understand, and as you said, then be able to touch people's subconscious mind to get their mind to actively say, hey, you know what, I want to give to that organization. So many of the pieces that are tied into, you know, Chapter 11 here, when we start studying, talk about the positive emotions, we have the seven emotions on stage, I am trying to work people's desire. I'm trying to work people's faith. I'm trying to work some points, love and sex into it. Because I'll have like husbands and wives like, well, hey, it's like you got to make her happy. And boom, okay, I'll raise my hand up to go bid for that because I want to make my wife or my husband happy. You know, we might put in romance if we're doing a trip, you know, but also there's a case of hope, because at the end, we explain to people, hey, I had a group this week. I was like, you don't have to be the doctor or the nurse to change somebody's life or save a life. I was like, you can provide hope by, you know, opening your wallet or talking to other people about this. So, you know, I told people I love this chapter. It's almost like that neuro-linguistic programming. We are training the mind with our words to point people in a positive direction.
Love it. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
And it leads me to Galen, our coach, the master coach for Galen, just take it away. I know you're there, Galen.
Yeah, so Frank, I absolutely love your story. I can hear a lot of similarities. So you and I are absolutely going to become best of friends after this show. You know, one of the things, I've got two questions for you. One is coming directly from the book, just the reference that you made to page, I think it was 211. On 216, it says that positive and negative emotions can't occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate, and it's our responsibility to make sure that the positive emotions constitute the dominating influence of our mind. And then it talks about the law of habit. So my question, I would love to hear your perspective as to how do you make sure that most of your thoughts are positive? Because as you said earlier, you can't stop the negative thoughts from coming in, but we have to be diligent in making sure that what we focus on are those thoughts and emotions that will be productive to our life, just as your mom suggested. So I would love to hear your routine, your regimen, your diligence around trying to stay positive as we go through this thing called life.
Yeah, great question. A quick way to explain it was, I've got a friend, his name is Rob Campbell, and when I first started speaking professionally, we worked together as a duo on stage. People are like, wow, we have two positive black, you know, African-American speakers on stage. That's rare. And when he was speaking one day, Roger's a big reader, and he got me into the book. It was called How Full Is Your Bucket? And the one interesting fact in that book, How Full Is Your
Great
Bucket,
book.
Was they go, yeah, they go, in our lives, they go, we have roughly 10,000 interactions per day. And for every one negative interaction, you need 7 positives to make up for that one. And that fact just blew me away. So you start to recognize, okay, wait a second. If I want to be more positive, if I want to get better results, I need to limit these negative impulses. Or quote, when I speak about it on stage, I tell people we almost have to build up this positivity force field. You know, in the book, it talks about building up your bank account with positives. So if you have that negative, you know, it doesn't hurt you as much. But if your bank account is empty and then you make that negative withdrawal, then guess what? You're more in decline. So when I heard that, I'm like, oh, I need to watch who I'm around. So like my wife, you know, we don't have TV in the house. You know, we got Netflix, but we watch documentaries. So that's another piece. When I travel for speaking, I tell people that's one of the worst times for me, because when I'm in the airport, you get the news on and there's so much negativity coming in the news that could put me in a negative mindset. So whether I'm reading the book, I've got it in front of me. Like, you know, if I read Think and Grow Rich, you know, in the morning, I write out my daily plan. I go and work out. You know, there's the book, I think it's the 3-8 principle, but it's talking about Philippians, or 4-8 principle. And it's like saying, hey, how do you start your day? It's like, start your day off in a positive way versus absorbing this negative piece. So I work to stay away from social media. I work to stay away from negative news. And I also work to, you know, get these negative and toxic people out of my life. Not saying I'm not going to be around them, but I have to limit that input, and then I look to replace that or fill it in with more of the positive story. So whether it be the knowledge, I'm sure many of you in here know Delator McNeil, and he talks about, yeah, like if you feed your mind junk food, then you're going to get junk results. He's like, it's just like our bodies. So it's like, hey, he's like, you can have that little bit of dessert all the time, but you can't eat it all day. So I just work, you know, and it's a conscious piece is to be around positive people, positive situations, or absorb positive or, you know, personal growth type of information.
Fantastic. That leads me to my next question, because experience seems to be a very dedicated and committed teacher. So what has experience convinced you to be true about the world and how this thing called life works?
People don't like it when I say this, but I was like life is you know, one big learning experience. And the big thing that life has taught me is, and several mentors have taught me this one, is you can learn from other people's mistakes, but don't try to repeat them, because you're gonna make your own. Mm. And when I share on stage and I speak to people about, when I talk about living fresh, I say this would be easy. I'm like, what's possible but I'm not telling you that it's easy. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. You have to stay mentally strong. So you have to be prepared no matter what we do. We are going to make a mistake, but you have to just pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Really important to you, like the book talks about desire. If you desire something, then you keep going for it. If you're not going to go for it, then guess what? You really don't desire. So when I said about my speaking career, early on, I was infatuated. It was, quote, the pretty girl walking by, you know, and you just kind of like observed it, but you really didn't go all out. When I met my wife, that was, oh, I'm in love. And I was going to do anything to do that, or like, even now, to take care of my family. My desire is to take care of my family. I will do anything to make that happen. So I tell people, it's got to be important to you. You gotta love it. You gotta desire it. And that's that. They said that's that one big emotion at the top of the page. You know, there in 215. They go, when you desire something, you crave it, you make it happen.
Love it.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, I'm so enjoying this, and I'm bringing on Ann McNeil, who is the author of the McNeil Factor Workbook about how to start and run a successful mastermind, and I'm happening to look on page 89 of her book where she's talking about monthly goals. And so, Ann, I'd love you to talk to Frank, fresh from the kitchen.
Frank, my first question really speaks to your, if you can share your Black NSA experience, because that's where we met, when we met in terms of the walking through the book, if you will. So if you can just share with us your Black NSA experience, and then I want to go to a point you made about the negative and the positive. Actually, it's on page 2, on the bottom of 214 and the top of 215. Actually, I'll just read that first, and then if you can just share. At the bottom of 214 says the negative, and this goes to the point you were making about what we input. It says the negatives automatically inject themselves into the thought impulses, which ensures their passage into the subconscious mind. The positives must be injected through the principle of autosuggestion into the thought impulses which an individual wishes to pass on to his or her subconscious mind. And so with that thought, if you could just share with us, and then just mention that because of the book you mentioned, how full is your bucket, and that connects to that. But can you just share with us what are your thoughts about your Black NSA experience as you walk through the book with us?
Okay. My Black NSA experience at this point has been just, you know, so positive. And, you know, we'll get real here on the radio show. I've had other Black speakers, other Black entrepreneurs, and even my wife comes from a Hispanic background. And when she first met me, she used to her father being part of Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, different business programs. She goes, hey, Frank, anytime we travel, my dad could find that group and we would help each other out. So when she met me, she's like, hey, you know what, maybe you should go find, you know, the NAACP or this group or whatever. And I was explaining to her how within our culture, it's very fractured. So, or, you know, it's hard to find people. And she goes, well, why don't you go build it? So it's a case of trying to build, you know, build that network. And when I found Black NSA, it was nice to see, quote, there are more people like me, you know, positive people, business owners, speakers, knowledgeable people, not getting into trouble. Like years ago, I went to Australia and I told people one of the biggest worries I had was I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't a musician or a performer, celebrity. And I was like, I wasn't, you know, quote, in jail. I was like, so I was a different perspective for, you know, I was a Black professional. So that was something that was new for people. So with Black NSA, one is the fact of, okay, there's more people like me to connect with, and I got to go deeper into this in 1 second. Two is that we're willing to help each other out. And then the three part is like, you know, we're also there to celebrate each other's success. And my wife, the great part about it, when people hear Black NSA here, I tell people it says Black NSA, and we are there to help people of color, African American. But when I first went to Black NSA, I looked around the room and like, okay, everybody in this room is not Black. And the comment was made like, well, hey, you know what? We want to help all speakers grow, no matter, you know, if you're Black, white, you know, where you're from. And that was good. So like, when I got onto the Black NSA Mastermind, my wife saw the Zoom meeting and she looked and she goes, hey, Frank, I thought you said this was Black NSA. She's like, I see, you know, diversity in the pictures here. You know, my kids will come and watch the videos, like, and they can see the diversity. Like, we got somebody who's in Taiwan right now. We've got people all around the country, different ages, different, you know, sex, socioeconomic background. And that was the beauty there, because that's even how my mom raised me when I grew up in the military. It was just a case like, hey, are you American? Yeah, we didn't care what your color was. My mom's like, hey, the world is full of different colors, different people. So, Frank, I can't just have you in this one area. You have to understand where you came from, but you also have to understand that you're going to be working around a lot of different people. So I want to make you more diverse and more inclusive with how you live.
Thank you.
So that was question one, correct?
No, yeah, the first one was just a statement. Yeah, the other one was just a statement. When you read about the mentioned the book, How Full Is Your Bucket, and you talked about the mind and how this impacts the positive and negative, I just remember that this is the bottom of page 214. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Begin,
and that brings
us
to Dr. Thank you, and creative author that you are. And that leads me to Dr. Peter. Bring your success mojo on.
Success mojo, Pagin. Wow, that's getting pretty thick there as well. Frank, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm thrilled by your story, thrilled by your background. And my co-hosts have taken up a lot of the great questions here, of course, especially as it relates to chapter 11 of this this great text. But I want to kind of weave a little bit of some of these questions in and ask you who you surround yourself with. You've alluded to that a little bit. And here's where I'm going with this as well. The text in this chapter talks about the seven major negative emotions. It talks about fear, jealousy, hatred, revenge, greed, superstition, and anger. I know one of the and many of us have negative emotions, negative thoughts that creep into our mind on a regular basis. You know, a good example of that is sometimes doubts will creep into our minds, especially as we're embarking on something major in our lives, some kind of project. One of the ways that I help to overcome that is, you know, continues to surround myself with positive people, people who are on the same track, same wavelength, who adhere to a lot of the principles in this book. I also incorporate a mastermind group that I'm a part of as well. What do you do on a regular basis? I guess my first question is, what are any of these negative emotions that may be the loudest, or something that may be the loudest in your head every so often, because we all get them. But then what do you do as it relates to overcoming them? Is it a mastermind on a regular basis? Is it just continuous conversations with a mentor, as you've alluded to a little bit as well? What is something that is almost rhythmic to battle this, if you don't mind?
Okay. And like the first thing is just, you know, programming my mind. And as you said about the seven major negative emotions, people listening, page 216, the big deal is I've been down that road, and I've seen the results of that road, whether it be me or people I surrounded myself with, and I recognize that got you nowhere. So I tell people it's in a little box way in the back of my head, and if I sense it coming on, I'm like, you know what, I can't go there. Let's start thinking about where you want to go. I keep talking about my mom here. She had two strokes, and she said the doctors gave her a list, said, okay, here's all the things that you cannot have. And she goes, I don't like this list. I'm like, well, what's wrong with this list? And this is what you're talking about, the chapter, and she's taught me this. She goes, I don't want the list of what I can't have, because I'm going to want it more. She's like, because now you're telling me what I can't have. So give me the list of what I can have, and that's what I'll go do. So as you said, what do I do like on a daily basis? I tell people, I write I will list. I will do this. I will accomplish this. I will achieve this. I will talk to this person. So I talk about what I will do, not a things to do list, not, you know, anything. It's like, here's what I will do. And it's more like, I've got some friends who work in that whole NLP syndrome, sphere. Right. And I talk about it's even the wording that we use and the thinking that we do. We don't say if, we say when. You know, I mean, you know, so it's like, it's not if I get successful. It's like, hey, when I'm successful. So it's just, it's the programming of the mind that way. And then each week I've got several friends or mentors, because I've lived all around the country. So lots of, we can't see each other face to face, but the beauty of whether it be Zoom or Facebook, you know, videos, live, stuff like that, I'll try to call somebody, or I see them as a go-getter. I have a friend, he told me, like, Frank, when you travel, because traveling on the road can be lonely, I try to have a lunch or dinner with somebody I know in that town. So it's just in L.A., And one of my friends is a speaker, coach, has a podcast. She and I went to lunch, and she talked about her kids, her family. So I look to, you know, actively seek out, once again, like we said earlier in the question, seek out positive experiences or positive people or positive environments to purposely put myself in, and that limits or puts up that force field for me to have those doubts in my mind. They're going to be there, but I want to have more positive than negative.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I know that's beneficial to me and definitely to our listeners. So thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm appreciating so much that you're sharing and speaking to so many people. I wanted to couple of comments that you were saying, and then we're going to go to break. Your family was Army in Germany?
Yeah, I was Army. I tell people I was born in a country that no longer exists, because when I was born there was West Germany. So, my dad was a career Army.
My daughter is career Army in Grafenwöhr, so in Germany, and I'm heading over there now. So that was kind of cool. The other thing that you said that was just interesting, and I wanted to capture it, because I think from the Think and Grow Rich perspective, and certainly from the subconscious mind, it's so important, is that you shared that you stand out because, you know, when you go around, people are expecting, you know, you don't have the jail story, you don't have the come from this background story, you're a professional, you've always been a professional leader, African-American male, and that you were looking for that connection. And I want to realize that my co-hosts are, you know, you're in the right place with the right family, with the right peace, and that's part of the subconscious mind, is that we attract like-minded people, and that's why subconscious mind is so critically important. So I am so grateful for, one, your service, because being a kid of someone in the military requires service. You know, you didn't choose it, but it was part of your life. So thank you for the sacrifices that you made as a kid, and for your mom as her serving as a spouse. Yeah. Let's just run through a commercial, and then we're going to hear about the Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting. And we're going to continue to hear about fresh from the kitchen with Frank, as he shares his aha from this experience. So let's go to commercial first, then the accountability, and I'm back with Fresh from the Kitchen.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminder. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And take us to the Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting.
All right. Well, as the author of the book, The McNeil Factor, I am very excited to invite everyone to join us on actually the 3rd and 4th of January 2020 in Boca Raton, Florida, at the Embassy Suites Hotel. We will be having an opportunity to create a space for you to bring your life in writing. And actually, Bikin, that's really what the book is about, The McNeil Factor. We want to encourage all of us at least once a year to get off the treadmill of life. We can set these goals, but who's holding us accountable? And so what we do at the Think and Grow Rich annual meeting for your life is on that Friday night, it's open mic from about 6 until, and people just come and share their aha moment or what they have been able to achieve this year. On that Saturday, every single person brings a document, minimum 10 pages, of their life, including the kids, including the kids. So join us by going to Eventbrite and just search Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability Meeting, or you can go to our Facebook page or the website, internationalmasterminders.com. Thank you. Back to you, Bikin.
Thank you. And I have to tell you, all listening, I am looking at the McNeil Factor workbook of how to start and run a successful mastermind group. This book is packed with worksheets, planfulness, clarity. It's not a reading book. It's a doing book. It's an action book. And I, from really focusing on a daily basis in that moment, it's a beautiful, beautiful book. And if you are leaders or you're watching, I think, but you can see me. Thank goodness you can't. If you are readers, I definitely want you, leaders, where you can run groups and create masterminds. This book is such a big resource, and I'm just loving it. So thank you, Ann McNeil, for putting your words to paper. Fresh from the kitchen, so we are with Frank Kitchen. Frank Kitchen is a speaker, motivational speaker. He speaks about the power of being fresh, and he's the creator of the Live Fresh Methodology, which is a series of 5-6 processes and principles. He's also one of 3 black auctioneers worldwide certified. He's raised millions of dollars through his auctioneering services. So I want to make sure that everybody is touching base with Frank for 2 very specific things. One, bring him in for a keynote speaking so he could share the fresh perspective to your organization. And then 2, if you are looking to raise funds and you're looking to diversify, who's in the front of the stage? If you're looking to make sure that you can raise millions of dollars, Frank Kitchen is the auctioneer of choice. He is the one of 3 black auctioneers. He is someone that knows how to make you money, honey. So definitely check out Frank Kitchen, and you can reach him at frankkitchen.com, Frank Kitchen on Instagram, Frank Kitchen on Facebook, Frank Kitchen on Twitter, Frank Kitchen LinkedIn. Just connect with him. So, Frank, now that tell me, what did you feel, what are you thinking about the chapter of the subconscious mind? Bring us home about who you are. Bring us home. That's the subconscious mind. Where are you at? What do you think about this experience?
Well, number one is you're going to be my hype woman. After you gave that plug there for me, you're hired. So that's the first one that's going on right there. But yeah, you're saying earlier before we went to break, you're saying, Frank, tell me more about yourself. What's your aha moment? And as I've read this book, you know, I've listened to the audio version. I've read it. Now we're going through the class. Is I realize the most impactful people in my life have been sharing with me many of the principles that are in this book. I didn't recognize that it was Think and Grow Rich, but what they've taught me, whether it's been my mom, my wife, my advisors in college, right, some mentors in my life, I go back and say, oh, you know what? That's my aha. I was like, oh, they taught me that. But the big piece, that's the real aha, is as I talk about, and you're sharing it earlier, my Live Fresh methodology, and I call it a leadership methodology because you have to either lead yourself or lead others. You know, I go look at the book, and there's a piece, like, you know, the first part of the chapter says you may voluntarily plant in your subconscious mind any plan. So for me, I always tell people with my last name Kitchen, I look at people and go, what's your recipe? Because it's one thing to be hungry for something. That's the desire. But it's another one to actually have the plan to actually put it together. So you have to voluntarily plant it. So when you go to the bottom of page 212, it says make your desire clear and reduce them to writing. So that's your plan. So that aha moment hit me going, oh, my God. I was like, I'm going to run the right way with my Live Fresh principles, because essentially what I tell people is, I was like, you have to live fresh, which means you're living it, not talking about it. Because too many people get caught up in the fact of talking it. They don't live it. And I go, people are remembered for how they live and the results that they achieve, not for what they said. Then I
write
down, you know,
well,
the my rest. Uh-oh, she's got to write this down.
No, I got a caller that wants to ask a question, so I want to So let's get to the caller and keep on going.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're here.
Good
live
morning.
With
Good morning.
Frank's Kitchen.
Yes, this is Danelle McNeil. This episode, this interview, this has been so magnificent. Like every time I had a question, someone else would ask it, or whenever I would have a question, he would answer it before I could get a chance to get to the phone. And so this has been such a wonderful interview. And Frank, I noticed that all throughout the interview, everyone has mentioned mom and mother. And as last week's co-host and, you know, having such a passion for parenting and the relationship between mothers and their children, and in this case, a mother and her son, having my firstborn also to be my male child, Frank, I'd like to give commendation for your mom and the excellent work that she has done and her intentional approach to how she has so wonderfully brought you up. So I just wanted to say awesome interview, everyone. Frank, thank you very much. And if you could just supply just a few more nuggets of the impact that your mom had on your consciousness as you wrap up. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. The big piece is, as I said, we're going to be honest here, and I hear, you know, there was, you know, I am a son of divorced parents, you know, so for over 20 years, my father wasn't in my life. My parents got divorced, and, you know, me and my dad have put things back together, but during that time, she's talking about the impact of my mom, she's like, okay, me and your father fell out of love, it didn't work out, you know, he admitted to that, but at the same point of which me and my sister didn't understand why, she goes, okay, send him your report cards, write him letters. You still have to call him. So she goes, that's between us, but not between you. And I don't want you to stop loving your father. And I can't say it's been perfect. We've had issues, me and my sister, but you know, last year, you know, my father came in, drove into town to come meet his kids for the first time. And then this summer we went to his house so they could hang out with them. So we're quote, slowly putting these things back together. But it wouldn't have been there, as she's asking, if that nugget, or back to her saying with the book here, if that wasn't put into my mind to subconsciously make me want to go out and say, hey, you know what? I need to build a relationship with my father. So once again, those principles are being put in by you know, a mom. And I know we go back to the book, they say the biblical principles there, but it's just like, you know, you still have to go back and say thank you.
That's so great. I, too, am a child of divorce, my mom made a decision that she was never going to badmouth my dad. And when I came to know the man, I had no problem doing that for her. But the subconscious mind, you know, what you're implanted in, what you see is, you know, I love what you're saying. It's not only it's implanted in your mind by your mom, but it's also this, what's your recipe and fresh from the kitchen, you know, what are you creating in your own kitchen? What foods are you bringing in and pushing in your subconscious mind? You've been great, Frank. So I want to hear from ahas from my co-hosts of Ursula and Peter and Galen and Anne. So Ursula, we're running, just make your story fast and quick. Your ahas, go for it.
Oh, okay. So as I reflect on this particular chapter, one of the things I wanted to say is that from a child, I realized that I was putting it into practice whenever I was afraid to go to sleep because I was afraid of having a bad dream. I would get the Bible and put it underneath my pillow, and it worked. And so that was the beginnings of feeding my subconscious mind that there is a power out there that can protect you. And so whether we understand it or not, I think this chapter is awesome. And hearing Frank and what his mother did, what he did, and how he's impacting others, placing in their subconscious mind that they need to buy this thing that he's auctioning off because of the good of the organization and the good of themselves and their spouse and whoever else that he's gotten them to believe need to benefit from it. So it's amazing how when you look at the subconscious mind, how it impacts us. I know that sounds so crazy, but it's fascinating how the brain works and how, if you understand it, how you can work with other people to get them to do things you want them to do or not do, or get yourself to do the things you need to do. And my aha for today was how he uses his name and taps into what his talents are, the recipe for, and I like that, obviously. So thank you for everything.
Peter.
Okay, Peter can't talk because I'm having a problem pushing the right button. There you go, Peter.
Again, you caught, I think, everybody off guard on that one for sure. So, yeah, thank you so much. The aha is, Frank, first of all, again, thank you again for coming today. I was thrilled by your story. I'm a little selfish, so my aha was from one of the questions that I asked, and you made it a point to say, and this is a sidebar here, I think words are so powerful, and you made it a point to mention that as negative emotions, negative thought impulses might come into your brain, you make it a point to write out statements or say statements as if in the present, I will, I'm going to, I'm doing this already, you know. So those words that you recap to yourself, that you say to yourself, I believe are so powerful, and that was that aha that I really needed to hear, because we needed to really talk into our future positively to overcome any negative emotion, any negative thought impulse that comes into our mind. So, yeah, that's what I got, Jean.
Love it. Yes, and I don't want to keep you on your toes. You know, we're supposed to have a vibrational energy of power and, hey, where was it? Galen, my friend.
Yes, I've got two ahas, and they're kind of out there, so stay with me. The first one is that unicorns need support groups. And the second one is that your life truly is a recipe. Now, let me talk about the first one. Unicorns need support groups. I've so related to so much of the experiences that Frank talked about having had. I can identify with growing up with an incredible upbringing, one that I did not appreciate until I got much older and was able to see other people that did not have that same type of values invested in them. I've lived in 14 states, 19 cities, so I can relate to what that's about. Student leadership, a strong faith, and being an African American male that doesn't have a sordid history. I can relate to that, but I've always thought of myself as a unicorn. And so my point, my aha, is that unicorns need to have, we need to support each other, and we're not as different as the media might suggest that we are. There are a lot more of us than what the narrative says. And then the second is that your life truly is a recipe, that you get out of your life exactly what you put into it. If your life is not tasting the way you want it to taste, it's because you put too much celery seed in your recipe. It's because you didn't put enough salt or cumin in the pot. And you have to take responsibility for that. And just because this dish does not taste quite right, that does not affect what you're going to fix tomorrow. You've got an opportunity to adjust that and to change that and to make that better based upon your actions. And I was just so inspired by this conversation, and I predict that I'm going to be drafting Frank as one of my close friends.
Wow, Mr. Frank Kitchen, he's coming into your kitchen. So, and the author of the McNeil Work Factor Workbook, How to Start and Run a Successful Mastermind, Our Fearless Leader, as the International Masterminders Association, and the true master builder herself. And McNeil, what say you?
I'm like Frank. I think I'm going to take you with me everywhere I go, Bikin, as my intro. Frank, you can't control. What? Go ahead, Bikin.
No, I'm just laughing. I'm smiling here.
Okay, Frank, when you said you can't control your mind, but you can control what you place in it at the beginning of the show in terms of feeding it. Feeding it, I began to connect the feeding with the recipe going to what Galen just said. And then you being in the kitchen as the chef, feeding us with this positive, it is my first, that's my first aha. My second aha, Galen mentioned it when he talked about the recipes. And you have exemplified for all of us, it does not matter what hand you're dealt or what serving you get, it's how you choose to receive it. And so I have truly been blessed as I listened to your story. And it was funny as you started talking, and I was thinking about the game that she was hosting, because being an auctioneer, you could have carried this whole show, and you almost did. So so that was phenomenal, because listening to you as a keynote speaker and a presenter, but listening to you on the show, you helped us walk through your entire story, through your entire life. And I think that that is the mark of a true storyteller. So those are my aha moments. Back to you, Bikin.
Well, I am just so, first, I am thrilled that you're here, and Frank, and I'm so aware, thank you, Anne, for using the term chef, because Chef Kitchen, you have been able to allow each person to be at their own chef's table, kind of those baking shows, you know, where you have these chefs and they give the ingredients on the table and each one gets to create their own recipe, their own take on the flavor. And I see you as being one of those teachers, trainers that are teaching people how they can do their own recipe and how they can get fresh from the kitchen the right and perfect ingredients so that they can create their own life in a way that is quite beautiful. I think that as a role model, as a leader, and as an opportunity for those that are listening to reach out to Frank Kitchen, reach out to him so that he can help you find your recipe, to reach out to him to find out what's fresh from the kitchen, and you know, just definitely sign up for his blog, and to also know that if you want to make money, honey, if your organization needs some recipes, if your organization needs something, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. First, you call Frank Kitchen. Second, you hire Frank Kitchen as your keynote speaker. Third, you add in an extra bundle on top and have him be your auctioneer, because here's what you're going to get. Whatever you paid for Frank, you're going to make at least 100 times more, 1,000 times more when he's your auctioneer. So the investment is to bring the best that you can, the one of three black auctioneers. Now you've hit diversity. Now you've hit prosperity. Now you've hit marketing. Now you've hit sales. Now you've hit attention. And Frank Kitchen is the man for you to bring in for the year, both keynote speaker and your auctioneer. And Frank, I'm going to just say that I'm reading on page 2018 of The Subconscious Mind, and in that, Napoleon Hill is talking about that if you understand the working principle of the radio, you know that sound can't be communicated through the airways until it has stepped up or changed into a rate of vibration which the human ear cannot detect. He jumps down and he says the subconscious mind is the intermediary which translates one's prayers into terms which infinite intelligence utilizes
presents the message and receives back the answer in the form of a definite plan or idea for procuring the object of the prayer. The reason I'm saying this, I have a feeling, Mr. Frank Kitchen, you've been looking for a way to communicate and empower people to know who you are, what you do, what makes you different in this world. And I will tell you that we are grateful that you came on because we believe in you as the ultimate chef. We believe in you as having everything come fresh to the kitchen. We believe in you that you are the creator of the Lies Fresh methodology. We believe in you as being the motivator and the inspirer for people to give their money to serve organizations and associations. We believe in you that you are the chef to lead people to find their recipe. And with that, I'm eternally grateful that you are on our show. And thank you for being there. Everybody follow Frank Kitchen at, I'll just Google Frank Kitchen. You'll find him everywhere because that's, he's a chef and he's there. So thank you for being on our show, Frank. Also, everybody, we are closing with our commercial. And thank you. Once again, join us next week when we continue the discussion of the subconscious mind. We continue this group of amazing co-hosts, Ursula, Galen, Anne, Peter, and myself, Pagin. I'm founder of Power Women. I am the only motivational, number three, well, one of eight women in the Motivational Speakers Hall of Fame, the only female in the Hispanic Speakers Hall of Fame, kicking butt, helping you lead, sell, and kick butt, and make sure that women are power, are seen, heard, bold, and brave. This is Think and Grow Rich, our mastermind show at the International Mastermind Association. Join us next week. Thank you for being here.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.